If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Romans. Pray for me that my voice won't be annoying. Amen. Brother Mike's back there. You remember Brother Elmer Myers? Brother Elmer walked down. I was walking down the aisle shaking hands, and Brother Elmer shook hands with me one Sunday morning. He said, "You know, Pastor, if it weren't for the V, you would annoy me." Just a dry sense of humor. He never even cracked a smile when he said it. Amen. And I've had the privilege to know some of God's choice youngins down through the years. Amen. Not all of them are as mean as Don McCann. Some of them are good people. Amen. Brother Don's a dear friend. And I'm praying I win Miss Linda over one of these days. Amen. Appreciate them. Romans chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, found your place, verse 1. Stand with me, please, and reverence the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he said, "Brethren," boy, don't you like that term? How many is glad to be among them, folk, the brethren? "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." You can be seated. Please pray for us and pray with us today. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege to stand here with my people. God, they're precious to me, every one of them. Thank you, Lord, for the group of young people that you've given us. I pray, God, you'll continue to bless them. I pray, God, that our fellowship will grow, that our knowledge of the Scripture and our knowledge of you will grow. And I pray today, Father, for those that are working in the children's churches, Lord, teaching the little ones, our Father, the principles of the Word of God. And I pray, dear Father, for this Bible school coming up. Lord, we're going to give it our best. But Lord, we know that we need a touch of heaven's best, Lord, for it to be what you want it to be. God, we pray that you'll do that. In this service today, our Father, I pray you'd touch our voice. I pray, God, you'd help us this morning. Lord, help us to see something that would help us on down the road a little further. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the right righteousness. The right righteousness. It's what God put in my heart. According to what I'm reading here in the text, there is a righteousness that is right, and there is a righteousness that is wrong. And I'd like to examine this morning, if I could, for just a little while, the right righteousness. He said, "Pastor, what's the importance of the subject?" Well, what difference does it make? Well, it makes all the difference in the world, and it makes all the difference in eternity. You see, beloved, this morning in verse number 3 here, the Bible said they were ignorant of God's righteousness. And then the Word of God said they went about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And so, beloved, this morning, according to the Word of God, the righteousness is used 3 times in this one verse of Scripture. There is a righteousness that is right. You say, "Preacher, what is that?" That's God's righteousness. And there is a righteousness that is wrong, and that would be our own righteousness. I want to give you 3 simple things this morning in the message. They're simple, but yet they're profound. And I pray that God will use it. And I want you to know this morning that in Kingsport, Tennessee, forget about other towns, Forget about other counties. Forget about other states. But in Kingsport, Tennessee, I promise you this morning, there are people that are sitting on pews, just like you are, all over this city, that are depending on their own righteousness to get them to heaven. They think because they put money in the plate, because they have a good stature in the community, because they're a member of that local fellowship or local church, because they have been sprinkled or because they have been dipped, they think they're going to heaven. They think, well, I read my Bible. I want to give you something today. This is the way God's leading me. You ought to ask somebody this question sometime. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And if they answer that question, yes. I never start with that question. When I'm talking to a stranger, you go to church anywhere? I really could care less if they go to church, but I'm just kind of breaking the ice. And if they tell me they go to church, what church you go to? How long you been going? Just show an interest in them. And then say, look, this is the question I really wanted to ask you. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Can I say this to you this morning? The only way a person can know that is to have the right righteousness imputed in their life. I would go on with that person. They say, well, I've been saved. And I might ask a person this. Well, if you stood before God today and God said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You'd be surprised at the answers you'll get right there. Beloved, listen. Many will mention their Bible reading. They'll mention their prayer life. They'll mention where they go to church. They'll mention maybe the Sunday school and their faithfulness to that. They mentioned maybe being a good father, a good papaw, a good citizen. I had one lady told me that her and her husband pay their bills and things of that nature. You know what's wrong? Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I am not fussing this morning, but there are a multitude of people that are ignorant of God's righteousness. And the Apostle Paul was one of them. We're going to study about him in Bible school, but he was ignorant. That's not putting the man down. What that means is, beloved, listen, we're going to see it in a moment. What that means is he did not know the righteousness of God, and therefore he went about to establish his own righteousness. We're going to see that in a moment. Amen? And I'll tell you something this morning. Somebody said, preacher, you die today, you going to heaven? Yes. How do you know? Let me tell you some things I'm not going to mention. I'm not going to mention my wife, my marriage, my grandchildren, my children. I'm not going to mention preaching. I'm not going to mention praying. I'm not going to mention, beloved, reading my Bible. I'm not going to mention trying to be faithful to the house of God. I'm not going to mention do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. I'm not going to mention the Ten Commandments. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know you're going to heaven? I tell you why. It's because one day, February 22nd, 1987, an old wretched sinner came to the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus. And beloved, that Jesus saved my soul. He forgave me of my sin. He took off of me my righteousnesses. The Bible said they're all as filthy rags. He took that mess off of me and he clothed me in his righteousness. That's what makes the difference. I'm going to heaven because the Lord Jesus went to Calvary, shed his blood, so that this naked, wretched sinner could be clothed in the righteousness of God. Beloved, listen. Even when we get to the marriage supper, we're going to be reminded of his righteousness. We ain't going to be up there bragging on each other. I tell you, beloved, he'll be the center of attraction. He'll be the center of attention. Everything we do will be pointing to him, the Lamb of God that took our sin away, that we could be forgiven and be saved by the grace of God. Oh, beloved friend, it's terrible, terrible to be ignorant of God's righteousness. But you know what? There was not a better person in the world to be addressing the problem than the Apostle Paul. I'll give you three things quickly. Number one, I want you to see the pattern of righteousness. Look with me, if you will, please. Adam, I just looked up and saw you, brother. That's a blessing to see you. I mean that. Did you get a text from me last week? Okay, I appreciate that. It's good to see you and Holly. There's just things that blesses a pastor when you look up. Amen. Yes, there's things that discourages a pastor. But every once in a while, God will just give a pastor something to help him. Amen. And it's a blessing to see God working in people's lives. Let's look at the pattern of righteousness. Turn with me, please, if you will, in your Bible to Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I said this morning that there was a time in the Apostle Paul's life when he was ignorant of God's righteousness. There was a time in the Apostle Paul's life when he was going about to establish his own righteousness. But, oh, thanks be to God. The Apostle Paul from glory would say, amen. There's a time in his life when he submitted himself to the righteousness of God. Oh, beloved friend, I'm afraid. So many today, they think because they sit on pews like this, because they don't cuss and they don't chew and they don't run with them who do, they think they're going to go to heaven when they leave this world. And I'll tell you something right now, you're going to have to be clothed. When the children of Israel, beloved, were going through that time there in Egypt, and God was about to come through that night and visit the firstborn, and the firstborn in every house was going to die. I'm telling you, beloved, God was looking for one thing and one thing only. He told the children of Israel, he said, you take that lamb and you shed that blood. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. The blood in the basin was not going to be good enough. The blood in that lamb's body was not going to be good enough. Beloved, the blood on the brush, the hyssop, was not going to be good enough. That blood was going to have to be applied on the doorpost and on the lintel. Years ago, God showed me something that I never had thought about before. He didn't put it on the threshold. That blood is not made to be walked on. That blood is not made to be walked over. That blood is made to be walked through. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the only way, beloved, that you and I can have the righteousness of God imputed to us is to come to the cross. Come to Calvary and realize we're a sinner and trust Him to be our Savior and none other. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. Turn from that religious mess and have a relationship with the Lord of glory. I'm telling you, beloved, many in their pride will die in their sin because they're not real willing to give up their own righteousness and submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Beloved, Jesus said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The first step, beloved, is knowing what you are. And the next step is knowing who he is. You're the sinner. He's the Savior. Oh, beloved friend, watch this here. I'm telling you, God's still teaching me every day of my life. And I appreciate the Lord. I never thought about it before. But look here in verse number 16, and then we'll back up in the chapter a little bit. Chapter 1 of Timothy in verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. Let me ask you something this morning. Anthony Roberts, have you obtained mercy? Ain't that good, brother? You didn't deserve mercy, Anthony, and I didn't either. What we deserved was justice. Oh, Brother Mays Jackson used to say, justice called, but mercy answered. Hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy. Paul said here, howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You say, Pastor, what is the pattern of righteousness? There was a time in your life, beloved, listen to me. Listen to me well. You may not agree, but you have a right to be wrong. There was a time in your life when you were ignorant of God's righteousness, when you had no idea what it costs to pay for your sin. Oh, beloved, listen, we ought to teach the children, but there's going to have to come a day in their life when they look in that mirror and they don't just see a youngin', they see a sinner. They see a hell-bound sinner. They see a guilty sinner. They see a God, a Savior, beloved, that loved them and gave His life on Calvary. And when that happens, beloved, listen, they have an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. The Bible said here, "For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." The pattern is seen in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 3. There was a time, let me ask you a question. When Paul was doing what he was doing to the church, let's just read it right here. Let's back up a little bit. The Bible said here in verse 10, well, let's read verse 9. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, profane, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers." By the way, beloved, did you ever think you'd see a time in America like we're seeing today? I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Oh, but you know what the problem is? It's the guns. My goodness. Y'all know I'm pulling your chain right there. The problem's not the gun. The problem's the heart. I'm telling you what, beloved, until the heart is fixed, you can take every gun. They'll just kill them with something else. The heart is the problem. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. The Word of God said, who can know it? Watch what the Word of God said here, beloved. The Bible said, for whoremongers, verse 10, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, perjure person, there be any other thing contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I just want to stop and say this. God put it in my heart. I read a long list right there. There may be somebody sitting there saying, shoo, I'm not guilty of any of that. You're right. You're guilty of all of it. The Word of God said, beloved, if we offend in one point of the law, we're guilty of the whole law. You say, Pastor, you'll never convince me of that. You're right. But I know the blessed Holy Ghost. And when He comes by and convicts a man of sin, He don't say, well, you lied to your mommy or you stole a nickel. I'm telling you, He throws the book at you. And you realize you're guilty before a holy God. You realize you're dirty before a holy God. You realize you're in trouble with a holy God. You realize that holy God is right and you are wrong. When that happens, beloved, a person's getting close to the Savior and becoming a child of the King. According to this glorious gospel of the blessed God, verse 11, which was committed to my trust. Look at Paul in verse 12. I thank Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Look at this. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I'm telling you, there's a church full of people here today that's done a lot of things that were wrong, ignorantly, in unbelief. Are you listening to me this morning? Now, the Apostle Paul, when he was arresting the Christians and locking them up, he thought he was doing the right thing. Are you listening? It was the Jewish people that said, crucify him! Crucify him! Their system was threatened. When Jesus spoke, it wasn't like a scribe or a Pharisee. He spoke as one having authority. The pattern is this. There was a time when the Apostle Paul was ignorant of God's righteousness. He knew what it was to live there. Beloved, I can tell you story after story after story, a time in my life when I was ignorant of God's righteousness. You know what normally you find? You find people that are trying. Listen to me carefully. God's righteousness never comes by trying. Our righteousness The Bible said they went about to establish their own righteousness. That we can do that. We can make ourselves look good in the community. We can make ourselves look good before the family. And I'm going to say this. You can make yourself feel good. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't make yourself saved. You can't get to heaven without the righteousness of God. And I'm telling you, beloved, you can have a little temporary relief. But the only relief that will last comes from the old rugged cross. Beloved, listen, when Jesus forgives a person of their sin and takes off of them their own righteousness and puts on him his righteousness, then, beloved, that is what makes the difference in time and eternity. The Word of God said here, beloved, listen, he's a pattern in that he was ignorant of God's righteousness. Turn with me, if you will, over a little bit here. Let me see where I'm going here. I have to remember. Well, Philippians. Turn with me to Philippians, please. Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. There was a time when Paul was ignorant of God's righteousness, but not only that, he went about to establish his own righteousness. I want you to see this here. The Bible said, finally, my brethren, chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, indeed, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul's letting us in. He's letting us in on something here. He's saying in that pattern, there was a time when I was ignorant of God's righteousness. But he said, not anymore. But he wants to back up and help us to see that there was a time when he went about to establish his own righteousness. Please look at it with me. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now he begins to name his credentials. Verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You know what Paul was doing? He was going about to establish his own righteousness. But something happened one day. Y'all know what happened? He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And beloved, the Word of God said, the Lord said to Paul, spoke to him, knocked him off of his high horse, so to speak, that horse of own righteousness, that horse of his own pride. And that great light shone round about him. And Paul, in a moment of time, realized he was wrong and God was right. You say, how do you know that? Here it comes. Who art thou, Lord? And what would you have me to do? You say, preacher, what do you see in the pattern? I see Paul, ignorant of God's righteousness. I see Paul, beloved, trying his best to establish his own righteousness. But I see Paul on the road to Damascus, beloved, when he had that encounter with Christ Jesus, the Lord, beloved, he submitted himself unto the righteousness of God. He realized, beloved, this way that's called straight, these people that I've been persecuting, they know something I don't know. I'm going to give it to you better than that. They know someone that I don't know. And beloved, he, my friend, was saved by the grace of God. His life was turned around for the glory of God. Not in his own righteousness, in the righteousness of God, the right righteousness. I see the pattern. I want to show you this quickly. Turn back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I appreciate you praying. God has really helped me this morning. Appreciate you praying. Watch this now. In Romans chapter number 10, I want you to see the person of righteousness. The Bible said in verse number 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Beloved, that person's not your mamaw, it's not your papaw, it's not your mommy, not your daddy, not your brother, not your sister, not your pastor. The person of righteousness is none other than the one that came and fulfilled the law. The one that the Bible said was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. His name is Jesus. The person. Eternity is wrapped up in the person of Christ. Everybody in hell will have one thing in common. They all rejected Christ. I'm going to establish my own righteousness. You may do that. Paul did it, but it won't get you to heaven. You can come to church every time the door's open and die without God and go straight to hell. Beloved friend, listen. A message like this don't mix up people saved. And really, it don't mix up people that's not saved. It's just truth. It's trying to help you. The Bible said, speaking the truth in love. I'll get to that in a moment. That's good, Lord. Thank you. But I want you to see the person of righteousness. Come on down with me in the book of Philippians now, back over in chapter number 3. But what things, in verse number 7, were gained to me, those I counted loss. For who? For Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. What's those next two words? My Lord. My Lord. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Jesus is the great shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. But the best shepherd you'll ever find is Psalm 23:1, when you can say, He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Paul, in this verse of Scripture right here, he's not saying Jesus is the Lord. He's saying He's my Lord. That's why it used to be used a lot more. Brother Don, people would talk about a personal Savior. Well, it is personal. I can't trust Christ for you. And you can't trust Christ for me. I'll be honest with you. If I could, I would. In a heartbeat. If I could trust Christ for another, I would. I know how good it is over here. Being able to lay down at night. But no, if I don't wake up, I had some really, really good youngins in class this morning. I said, how old do y'all think I am? One of them said, 57. I said, I love you. Another one saw that, and he said, 26. I said, what do you want? And then Miss Eve had to spoil it. She said, older than dirt. I guess the closest one to the dirt or to know, amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. The Apostle Paul said, I counted all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Listen to me. There are many, many, many men in this world a whole lot smarter than I am. Some of them got degrees and certificates, and they still do a good job for God. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Apostle Paul is telling us here that all that stuff back there where I was trying to establish my own righteousness, just put that on the dung heap. It didn't amount to nothing. And watch what the Bible said here. Watch this. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the right righteousness. Watch this now. I'm talking about a person in verse number 10. That I may know him.
could have dawned, we could still have revival in America. But we need a group of people, regardless of how far they've been down the road with God, that would get with the Apostle Paul and say that I may know him. Every one of us could know him a little better. Know him more intimately. I'm afraid that we get caught sometimes in a trap. We want to know our lesson or we want to know the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, the ultimate goal in the Christian experience is to know him. Who art thou, Lord? And what would you have me to do? It's sad, but there are many, many people in the world that do know Christ as Savior and will never discover the perfect will of God for their life. Because they want to know him enough to stay out of hell. Can I tell you there's more? Paul was saved. Paul was changed. Paul had the righteousness of God in his life. He said, I want to know him. Well, if you want to know him, look at the next statement. And the fellowship of his suffering. It ain't no wonder, Brother Ralph, that down there in that jail, you find a man that's not griping and complaining about his back busted open and bleeding, but he's saying to Silas, let's sing one. Let's praise God. Let's pray a while. And the jailer heard it, amen. And those in the jail heard it. And God shook the jail. The doors flew open. I thought about Northeast. That's where I was at when the Lord put me in the prison ministry. If you shook an earthquake up there at Northeast and all the doors flew open, I would just about guarantee you, you'd have an empty house. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? That jailer's ready to kill himself. He's ready to fall on his sword. But Paul said, Sir, he said, we're all here. Do thyself no harm. I'm telling you, beloved, those prisoners knew that Paul had something and Silas had something that they didn't have. And they're going to hang around to see what it was. I can't prove this, but I'll tell you, I believe with all of my heart, surely, Miss Sarah, somebody else in that jail got saved that night. Here come he, that jailer trembling. He sprang in with a light. He said, sirs, listen, I'm going to paraphrase, then I'll tell you what he actually said. What do I have to do to get what you got? He said, what must I do to be saved? I'm talking now, listen, about the pattern of righteousness, the person of righteousness. Paul didn't hesitate. Paul didn't stutter. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And the Word of God said, beloved, that night, listen, that jailer was saved. God turned his life around. Instead of applying stripes, he's got him a basin of water, and he's washing them. You know what he's doing? He's regretting his past. I'm going to tell you, if you ever meet Jesus, you'll regret your past too. It'll change your life. Righteousness, we see it. The Word of God said here, the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. He dropped on down, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me give you the last thing and I'm done. The right righteousness. We've looked here at the pattern of righteousness. We've looked at the person of righteousness. Back up to verse number 1. I really didn't take it in the order that it came in the scripture, I took it in the order that it came in the Apostle Paul's life. The last thing I want to look at is a petition for righteousness. Brother Steve, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is. I will tell you something, beloved, listen to me. If you ever get God's righteousness, you want everybody to have it. If you ever know the joy of sins forgiven, you want everybody to know the joy of sins forgiven. If you ever know the meaning of the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. The songwriter that had said, this is my story. You read the book of Acts, and every time Paul got up, you know what he wanted to do? Tell his story. You say, preacher, he liked bragging on Paul. No, read his story. His story didn't brag on Paul. His story bragged on Jesus. A petition for righteousness. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I don't know if I can remember exactly where that is. I thought I did for a moment, but I don't see it there. It's in another text. It might be in Corinthians. But the Apostle Paul said this. He said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ. He was God's minister, apostle to the Gentile. But Brother Wayne, he never lost his burden for his own people. Sometimes preachers set out to win the world and lose their own family. I'm sure in that situation there's enough blame to go around. But Paul, in his petition, he wanted someone else to experience what he had experienced when he came to know Christ as his Savior. He said, Pastor, I don't know why you all would spend thousands of dollars on a Bible school. I don't know why you would send missionaries into the prisons and send them overseas. I can tell you why. We want somebody else to know what we know. Let me rephrase that. Brother Steve, we want somebody else to know who we know. He's a wonderful Savior. I highly recommend Him. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I wonder this morning, do you have the right righteousness? Brother Ralph, if I'd have been feeling a little bit better in body, I think I'd have cut a spell this morning. Y'all singing, He's mine. Ain't that a blessing? I just now figured out something. There's enough Ralphs in this place to mess up any meeting, ain't it? Amen. I love you this morning. Please don't leave this world with the wrong righteousness. It won't help you. Please trust Jesus. He's the only Savior. He's the only one that can do what needs to be done. Our Father, this morning, I thank you for the privilege to be here. The honor, our Lord, to open the Bible, have you speak to our hearts. Lord, as much as we think of the Apostle Paul, he sure didn't think too much of himself. He said, if you're talking about saints, I'm less than the least. That's the way I feel. If you're talking about sinners, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But Lord, Apostle Paul's in heaven today because, Lord, he got past that time when he was ignorant of God's righteousness. He got past that time when he was going about to establish his own righteousness. And he came to a time in his life when he submitted himself unto the righteousness of God. Lord, I remember that night how difficult it was to swallow that pride. How difficult it was, Lord, to admit you had been right all along and I had been wrong all along. But oh, happy day when you forgave us, God, cleansed us, wrote our name, our Father, sealed it up, our Lord, in the Lamb's book of life. Asking how God to speak to hearts today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.